Blog Talk Radio.
Think. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, financial, and business networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. I would like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about Think Big Radio. Tonight's big thinker comes all the way from Rockford, Illinois, and she's going to talk about doing what you love as a business and things that you should consider before doing so. She's also an author and a songstress, so we'll be getting into all of those different things. Miss Cassandra McGee, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Before we get this interview started, we want everybody to know, how can they reach you? Let them know. How can they reach you?
Okay. My website is mypowerforliving.com. It's mypower, then the number 4, living.com. And you'll find information there regarding my business, my ministry, my book, as well as my music. I do original material. And so you will be able to click and hear some things from my demo CD. And if you wanted to contact the ministry or me personally, I can be reached at 888-824-6727.
Okay, for all of those big thinkers out there and you big listeners, you heard how to reach her in case you have some issues with your computer. So let's move right on so you can find out what is Miss McGee about. Okay, why don't you start off by telling us where you're from, you know, where you're born, raised, went to school, things like that. Just start the talk.
Okay, I was born, bred, and raised right here in the fine city of Rockford, Illinois. And for those that are not familiar with Rockford, we're about an hour away from Chicago. So it's a smaller town. We're the third largest city, however, in the state of Illinois. I went through all of my pre-college high schooling and all my education here. Then I went to Iowa State University in the fine city of Ames, Iowa, not too far from Des Moines, where I earned my bachelor's degree in psychology and my master's degree in sociology. I have done some work toward my doctorate, so that's my background as far as my education is concerned.
Great. So when you think about the things that you've done and, you know, growing up in that area and everything, what happened that you created this passion that you have for what you're doing now? And can you let our guests know, you know, exactly what that passion is?
Okay. My passion, more or less, is to be able to enlighten, to uplift, and to encourage and inspire others. I myself, more or less, I remember both of my parents are from the South, and they moved here to the North in order for job opportunities. And one of the things that they really instilled in us was the appreciation and love for God, for family, for education, and to take the gifts and the talents that you have, to nurture those things and to develop those things, so therefore you will be a success. Now, success could be defined so many different ways. A lot of people view success as monetary. That's one way of measuring it, but I also view success as your ability to be able to really to connect and to help someone else. So my passion really is through the things that I do, whether it's through the music that God gives me to create, through the books that I write, through speaking, or through even the gift shop that I have. I have an online gift shop. To operate those things in excellence, so therefore someone's life can be touched, can be inspired, can be improved. Because I realize that our lives are not just for ourselves, but it's also to connect to other people. My parents were a real big inspiration in that. And then also looking at how they work, they both work very hard so that we could have better. And I always remember as a child thinking that I don't see how people could work a job 20, 30, 40 years and retire. That was never anything I really wanted to do. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and it's something that my parents kind of encouraged in us is to more or less to be excellent at whatever it is your passion may be. So my passion is really to develop the skills and talents and abilities that God has given me as far as writing and music, as well as being able to operate programs so therefore it can reach the world globally.
Wow, and that's a very, very big task that you're taking on. One of the things that I'd like to ask you, as far as a lot of people out there who are, you know, motivated and they want to get into things, what would you say would be like the best advice you could give someone who's taking a path that's, you know, similar to yours?
I would say, first of all, one word, and it's research, research, research. First of all, start with yourself by asking yourself the question, what is my motivation? Why is this particular venture something that I want to do? Whether it be starting your own business, whether it be writing a book or whatever that is, what is your motivation behind that? And then do the research for that. You have to look and make sure that, I say, is it a talent or a skill? Is it a talent or a gift, per se? A skill is something that we can learn. A talent is something that's more God-given and it becomes natural. You may have to fine-tune it or craft it, but it's something that really just comes out of you naturally. And those are the things I think that people will find more satisfaction in, is because it's something that really is, to me, God-breathed. So really looking at the motivation, looking and seeing, too, is that product or service, is it marketable? Are there people that want it? You know, if you're a singer, does someone really want to hear you sing? Do they like the music that you write? So I think those things up front is really looking at your motivation and researching out what the market is going to be in order to help you be successful in that area.
Okay, so now where, you know, we look at that as great advice as all of our big thinkers give to, you know, really educate yourself in that field that you're choosing. Just don't go out there and take somebody else's word for it, but, you know, get those people's help, but also research. And when you have that passion and it's in you because it's something that you really want to do, how would you tell them that, you know, as far as what worked for you, that you turned your passion into a workable business? And if also with that workable business, did you partner with anyone to make it happen, or was it, you know what, I've done my research, I have this passion, I'm going to go out there and my how is going to happen?
Okay. I'll start with the books. As far as my passion there, I've always been an avid reader and a writer. The different type of jobs that I've had have always required me to be a critical thinker, meaning I had to be able to pay attention to detail. Also, it was very heavy on customer service. I've done everything from counseling, career counseling, as well as been a part-time professor in a university. So all that required me to think critically, be able to analyze information, as well as be able to relate that information to people in a way that will make it usable for them. So that has impacted my writing. And so my ability to really be able to communicate that to others. So I think more or less I've had to do a lot of this myself. The different jobs that I've had have helped to develop and fine-tune those things. But when I got to the point where I've edited other authors' books, but sitting down and writing it myself, now that's a totally different thing. What really kind of helped me is looking at who in the industry was doing something similar that was successful at it. And so I could look and see what type of things that they were utilizing to help them be successful. I reached out to a few of them, one of them being a lady I actually grew up around. We grew up in the same church. She's one of the New York Times bestselling authors, Kimberla Lawson-Roby, and she was very instrumental in pointing me in the direction of different literature that I should read in order to make sure that I was paying attention to what the market demanded. So I think in reaching out to those that are doing it and doing it well, that's a very valuable resource.
Okay. Now, one of the things, too, with your book, The Fight to Love, since we're talking about, you know, your writings, how did you come about that? I mean, what was it that made you want to put a book out that dealt with that?
Actually, I was writing on two different books at one time. I started out, like I said, writing as a child, wrote some different things in high school and college, got into theater, and then I just started more or less writing short stories. I've always more or less had, I guess, the ability to create storylines, whether it be through poetry or through music or through literature. So I was actually sitting down one day and started getting some different ideas just for short stories, for poems, for different things like that. So I was writing on two separate novels at one time. One was more or less about love relationships and how wonderful they could be. The other one was about sometimes the challenges that they could be. So I started writing on both, came to an impasse where I couldn't finish either one, just kind of sat back and was like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this? So he kind of showed me a way in order to combine those books into one particular book. And so there's three separate stories within the one novel. And it all talks about more or less a common theme about love. And it asks the question, does true love really exist? Is it a reality or is it a myth? And I think kind of the inspiration for that is I sat back and watched different people in different aspects of their lives when I was in the professional world and higher education, and I saw what really kind of motivated or inspired people to really seek success, whether it was personal relationships to be successful at or whether it was career to be successful at. And all of the people that I were looking at in one way or another, they were really seeking acceptance or some feeling of love. And so that's what kind of created the title of The Fight to Love. I'm asking the question, is it really achievable? Is true love something that really exists? So the book is a fictitious journey on the eyes of three different characters and their experiences as to trying to find and answer that question for themselves. And then there's a nice little spin at the end where I give you a little personal tidbit where the fictitious now becomes real, and I kind of share some of my experiences and in my own fight and search for true love.
Wow. That's something else. Now, a lot of people from, definitely listening to this interview, they know that your website is powerforliving.com. That's P-O-W-E-R for the number four. Living, LIVING.com. But when I looked online and I was searching for interesting people to interview, I didn't come across you from this website. And now that I'm on it, I'm going to tell you that I do love it. I love exactly what you have going on here. Mm-hmm. But you're also into online business promotion.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Actually, I started a gift shop in 2001, and it's called Heart Reflections Gifts and Specialties, and I did that as a way to actually promote some of the poems that I was writing, and I turned the poems into greeting cards. And so I actually had a gift shop at a strip mall before they did some renovations, and then a company that I had partnered with, they decided to not continue the business. So what I did, actually offer some of my products and different things online.
Let me stop for a second here. I just want our people to listen to things that happen and how things go about happening to further someone's dream. The company that you partnered with decided to drop you, but you did not let that drop your aspiration.
Oh, no. I partnered with an organization where we were doing live entertainment on the weekends. It was all Christian-based entertainment where we did live comedy or poetry or different singing groups or whatever that was coming in. I had my gift shop in their particular site. And so when they closed doors, I had to find a location. So I started operating out of my home for a while, and then I found another shop, more or less, that was carrying my material. But then I realized, too, that a lot of people that were buying it were not local. I was having people contact me from Tennessee that wanted different products or different things. So then that means that now I have to find another venue in order to carry my product. So it became that it's not the death of a dream, it's a restructuring of the dream. How do I continue what I know I'm supposed to be doing, regardless and despite the obstacle?
That's great. So you basically decided to just rearrange and restructure.
Rearrange and restructure, exactly.
Just opposed to, letting them say, you know what, this is it, I tried, that's that. Now, as you started you know, restructuring and doing all those things and getting other people, did you create anything else to help other people that may have been, you know, looking to advertise their businesses or for that portion?
Yeah, so we actually did that. There were some other – actually, I'm working with a company now. What we did is that we tried to look and see who else were doing things that were similar or different other companies that may have had the same type of issue where they were trying to find a way to market their products. Like I said, I ended up connecting with another – with actually a bookstore that was going to carry some of my products. And then, too, some other companies throughout the other parts of the country, in Michigan and in Ohio, connecting with some other people in order to try to help each other. Right now I'm working with a company, and I'm considering some of their product line from Michigan to carry in my gift shop. So it's really about trying to find out who else may be wanting to do something similar and making those connections, because a lot of times you can actually help each other out.
Okay, that's great. It's about really making connections and making things happen. Now, I can't – you've answered some of our questions, like do you have plans to expand, because I take it going on the Internet and then having people all around the country starting to purchase from you, that's part of, you know, your expansion. But did you have any other expansion goals, or, you know, are you taking it one step at a time?
Taking it one step at a time. The expansion goals, more or less, like I said, are global, though. I'm working with some companies now in China, trying to get some different product lines in, whether they do the production themselves or whether they actually have the capacity in order to carry my particular products. So I'm really looking to, within the next few years, get everything more on a global basis where I'm not the main provider for my product, but that other different shops or other different companies are carrying the different things that I supply. But it starts more or less, you have to really believe in what you are about yourself and in making those connections. Information is out there. So I tell people all the time, don't be discouraged if you are your only support system, if you're your only cheerleader. I think T.D. Jakes was talking about how when he started his first book, how he had to empty out a lot of money out of his savings account in order to get it done. And I guess it made him nervous a little bit at first, but he said that it's not wise to not invest in yourself. So a lot of times that investment is your time, and so you have to be willing to do what it takes in order to get from ground zero to where you know or where you can see the vision of your particular project going.
And I think not only that, but by investing, you know, that time and energy and money in yourself, it brings other people more in alignment so that they're able to help them or you're able to assist them.
Most definitely.
Now, what would you say was your biggest challenge when you started this?
I would probably say two. One was fear. Fear of looking at, I think the fear of the unknown, meaning where do I start? I think a lot of people get stuck in that stage of this is what I want to do, but I have no idea where to start. So I started with more or less and going to the library. I went to the library and tried to get as much information as I could about what I was trying to do. And then I did an Internet search. So I think that's the biggest challenge, was trying to find some place to start. The second one, which probably ran neck to neck with that, was what I call the familiar naysayers, those that are in your close circle, whether that's family or friends or whoever, that they just don't get it and they just don't see it. And so if you allow those things to discourage you or to keep you from believing in what you know you're supposed to be, then you'll never get started.
Wow. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Now, before we go any further, can you please let people know how they can get in touch with you? Because we never know if people are going to listen throughout the whole show. We want them to, but how can people reach you for more advice or even for your services?
Okay. I can be reached. My website is www.mypowerforliving.com. It's my power, which is MYPOWER, the number 4, LIVING.com. Or my 800 number is 888-824-6727. And you'll find information there regarding the ministry as well as the book and my music CD.
So would you say that a lot of your, because I know you're well read, well studied, you've had numerous positions that allowed you to think not only creatively but critically. Would you say that a lot of your insights came from just, you know, being around the Word and, you know, doing things the right way? Or what would you say the bulk of your ideas came from?
I think the bulk of my ideas actually came from, yes, it came from being around the Word. That more or less really kind of built up my self-confidence as well as my ability to hear God clearly when He was leading me in certain directions to do different things or to voice certain projects. But also it's about the different type of job positions I held, whether they were on a volunteer basis, in the community, in my church, or whether it was in corporate America or in higher education. I can see how each particular position that I held actually helped me build a skill set that I was going to need in order to be able to do what I knew that I was supposed to do as an entrepreneur. So I think I'm a compilation of all those different experiences that have helped me get to the point where I'm able to run my own organization.
Great. Now, we have a caller from the 973-978 area code. Caller, I'm going to put you on. I just want you to tell our listeners your name and where you're from, and then you can ask a question, or if you have a comment to make, you can make a comment.
Okay,
973 area code, 978, you're on. What's your name and where are you from?
Okay, Hernando Bibbs. I'm from New Jersey.
How you doing, Mr. Bibbs?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing fine. I'm glad that you've tuned in to thinkbigradio.com to hear Mrs. Cassandra McGee and, you know, talk about what she's doing. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I've been listening to the show, and I just wanted to say that I see greatness in Cassandra, and I really just, it's just encouraging to see people you know, that's putting their foot forward into making their dreams a reality. And it's just such a great thing to hear, you know, hear someone that's really making it happen and trying to show other people how to do the same thing. And I think that's a great thing. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I think she's going to do great. And I think what she's doing is God sent and it's needed.
Okay, Cassandra, do you have anything that you'd like to say to the gentleman calling from New Jersey?
Well, I would like to thank you for your support and your words of encouragement, and I pray God's favor on the project that you have that you're going to be doing, and I pray that they are successful. And thanks so much for listening and for your support.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sir, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to mute you so you'll still be able to listen online.
Okay.
And you can listen online, and you can also listen from the call-in number. So for those of you out there who might be online or coming on later, just call in at 718 area code 664-9989. If you have any questions or you want to just make a comment like this gentleman from New Jersey just did. Okay, Mr. McGee?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your family, because earlier I heard you mention something about your parents and you guys. So do you have brothers or sisters?
I do. I am one of three siblings, and I have two brothers. And, in fact, all three of us are authors. And so it's kind of interesting how that all came about. I think I was the one that did the most writing and reading as a child, but at the same time, God has given us all the gift in order to write. We write on totally different kind of issues, though. My older brother is and Higher Education Administration. He actually has written two different books. One is called 11 Leadership Tips for Supervisors, and his new book is actually called Teamwork Moving Beyond Team Building Exercises. So he's really has a wealth of knowledge about organizations and being successful within organizations as an individual, as well as how to help organizations themselves thrive. My youngest brother, who is a minister, he writes under K. Eric McGee, and his book is called A New Day, Your Potential is God's Ability. And it's really about allowing God to define who you are and seeing the greatness that you have and who you are through his eyes. So all of our books are available on Amazon.com. So our family is very close-knit and very tight. Like I said, my parents really promoted love for family, love for God, and educating yourself in order to be successful. So I thank God for putting me in the family that he did. So we were raised in a very blue-collar family. We're only one generation away from the cotton field because both my parents picked cotton, but they were determined in order to give us a better life than what they had. So I totally appreciate them for that.
Wow, and I guess they really wanted to get you guys as far away from those cotton fields as possible.
Exactly.
Now, they didn't want you guys to look at it unless it was your pillow and it was a pillow fight.
That's right, or unless we were going down to visit family, you know, and that's about it. So, but they were, I can remember a story of my father. Now, all of us were adults at this time, but when we would go to their home for family gatherings, whether it was the holidays or not, he would sometimes turn off the TV, whatever we were watching, and get the dictionary and ask us what a word meant. And it kind of brought us back to childhood on how important education was to him, that it was really about educating yourself so that way doors would be open for you.
That's rare for him to do that and ask you, because at the early stages, even though this is not about child development, but, you know, in reality, you know it is. Not saying that if you had a great childhood or a bad childhood that won't, you know, make you successful, but just to have someone to, you know, basically ask you those type of questions and make you think at a young age. You know, too many times, we may want to lay our hands, not saying that's a bad thing, you know, on our children, whereas we could play the same type of mind games they play with us by making them actually think about things. You know, go read the dictionary, you know,
right.
Write everything in the first 10 pages out, you know, for punishment.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's even though, too, when I'm thinking about it now, the different gifts and talents that we see in our children, especially with the economy being the way that it is now, I think it is wise for parents to really kind of see your child's strengths or what their natural talents and skills may be. You never know. That may be something that can really develop into an entrepreneur opportunity for them. So I really encourage parents or those that are around children to really start early and looking and seeing what may be something that may turn into a business venture for them. All three of my nieces, they're 9, 4, and 2, love to get in the kitchen and act like they are the chef or that they are the restaurant owner. So for Christmas, those are the type of things that I buy them, and I try to get them to not just see themselves as the cook or as the chef, but let's see ourselves as the business owner. Let's name the restaurant after them. So it's really about trying to develop some things in them early.
Wow, that is so great. It just reminds me, we have a young lady coming in, our first interview in March, and she's 7 years old, and she already has 3 books out. Her name is Tintin. So, you know, it's never too young or never too old for a person to start. You know, to actually, you know, start. I mean, we look at this young lady, she's 7. I've heard things about a young preacher who might be 10, 12, or 13 right now. And then we've got the best person I could think of is Colonel Sanders, who started his program well into his 60s. So, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you start. That's one of the things that we believe here on Think Big Radio.
Yes.
just get started, because a lot of people, like you said, you had fear, and then you didn't know how. But you know, when you have a dream and you try to go out and you try to do that, you know, don't worry about the how, because I mean, how stands for help on way. Helps on the way. Just do what you need to do, and if it's the right thing, the help's gonna come for you to do that.
Most definitely. I totally agree. There's always someone out there that can give you the information that you need. It's just, like you said, it's just about getting started, and that someone may be you. You may have to be the one that goes out and find it for yourself. So.
Now my question here also is, looking at your site,
mm-hmm.
www.powerforliving.com, there's an area on here where it has evangelism and teaching. You're standing in front of a building. Is that building one of the schools that you went to, or?
No, it's not one of the schools that I went to, but it's actually in a neighborhood that used to be very family-oriented neighborhood, but at this time there is a lot of economic challenges there. And so, therefore, with the economic challenges, you see a lot of decay in that particular area of town. There's more gang involvement. There's more drug involvement. So actually, when I'm talking about evangelism, as far as the word of God is concerned, is that we're required to go, to not more or less stay within those four walls. Yes, the church is in order to equip us in order to be able to go about the daily task as far as living out the word and then reaching out to others. So when I took a picture in front of that particular building, it just reminded me of how much work there is to do.
Wow.
And how many people basically are in need of assistance, of enlightenment, of encouragement, to be empowered. And it's not basically just spiritually either. It's economically. Christ came to minister to the whole person. So it's not just about giving them spiritual knowledge, spiritual upliftment, but then, two, is in trying to help them get to a place where they don't lack anything, and that's including finances or physical health. So it really is about going out and reaching those that are in need.
Wow. And for those of you who are listening now, that's the power. Can you just give me your website? Mypowerforliving.com. You say it.
It's mypower, the number four, living.com. So it's mypowerforliving.com.
And, you know, I hate bouncing around to so many different subjects, but we both know that this is all as one, because on also in your book, The Fight to Love, which is, you know, taken from some real life, some fictional things. I would just like to share an excerpt from Chapter 9 of your book, Dancing into Sunlight. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, this here is from Cassandra McGee. This is an excerpt from Chapter 9 called Dancing into the Sunlight. "Close your eyes," he said. As I opened my eyes upon his request, Stefan stood holding a single lavender rose corsage. "Baby, I love it, but I don't think lavender and crimson are complementary colors. But if you insist..." "I do," he said. Stefan dropped the box as he began opening it. His hands were sweating. He almost began to panic, thinking maybe he was having second thoughts about me meeting his family. Stefan knelt down to pick up the box and reach for my hand. "Tabitha," he whispered, clearing his throat. Closing my eyes, standing still, holding a breath in the corner of my mind. Just before dawn, I woke and realized. I rose and realized. I lifted my eyes and realized. My darling is here. My love. My dream come true. Just before dawn. That's the excerpt I'm going to share with our listeners. And one of the things that I've seen is that you have a lot of poetry in your writing, real romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for everybody to be able to take a look at this. Can you name your book again and let people know where they can pick up this writing?
Okay. The name of the book is The Fight to Love, and the book is available at Amazon.com, online at Borders.com, Target.com, as well as BarnesandNobles.com. And for those that may want to order a copy into the store for Borders and Barnes & Nobles, you are able to call your local store, and they will order a copy for you.
Wow, that's great. I can't wait to get a copy of this in my hands and really read through it. I love reading myself, started reading at a young age, and you know, but that was great just from what I read. Now, what made you choose chapter 9 as one of the excerpts? Was that one of your favorite chapters?
Actually, the reason I chose it is because I think that a lot of people can relate to the fact of trying to look for what I call your puzzle piece fit, meaning that a lot of people believe that there is a God-given soulmate out there somewhere for them. Whether they have found them or not, most people that I know believe that there is some person on this earth that just fits them. Not a perfect person, but a perfect person for them. So I think it's a storyline people can relate to and that they can embrace whether they're young or old or whether they're male or female, is that whole romanticism about finding him or her. So that's the reason I chose that particular excerpt. In this particular story, this lady has been wanting to be married. She's been waiting for her God-given mate. But she realizes once she has realized that she's found him or has been found by him, there's some different things from her past that she thinks is going to keep them from connecting. So chapter 9 kind of lets you know how more or less part of on their way to their ending of what happens. But it's never without any challenges or without any bumps in the road that kind of gets them there.
And I think that is, you know, real, you know, clever, and the way that you set that up and what you just spoke about it was that a lot of people, you know, they think about their past so much that they fail to, you know that your past is your past and move on to do great things.
Very true. I always say that we are X somethings on our ways to being X something else's. So if we allow the power of God to change us and if we cooperate in the change process, then there's always things in our past that we could look back on and say, oh, my goodness. But if you look at your present, you're further ahead now than where you were then. And I always tell people when someone reminds you of the things that you used to be or who you used, things that you used to do or who you used to be, tell them that you're part. That's okay. So that if you see me now, you remember back then, you're part of my testimony.
Wow.
That and that says so. Therefore, that's testament right there that there is a real live God at work.
Yeah, you know it's funny. I had a buddy. He just had his. I don't want to really tell my age, but he had a 40th year birthday party and. You know, I hadn't seen him in a while, and I went and popped up, and there was guys there I hadn't seen since high school, and they remembered the craziest things about me that I never, you know, I haven't even thought about it in years, like just certain jokes that I did and just, you know, things that you don't think about, and you're just like, wow, you know, okay, what am I doing now, guys? You know about, you know, what I was doing, you know, but it's real funny, even though it wasn't, you know, a lot of bad memories, but you know, at the same time, just, you know, thinking about that.
Yeah, that's why we have to be assured as to, like, who we are and not allow those negative experiences that we have had to define us, or if people try to remind us of those things, that does not define us. And it kind of goes back to my brother, Kurt McGee's book. It's about K. Eric McGee, A New Day. Your potential is God's ability. It's really seeing ourselves through his eyes and that we're the finished product. And so we may have some different challenges in getting to looking that way, but in really believing that there's greatness inside of us.
Wow. Now, this here is a part of the show that, you know, sometimes we hate to get to, which is pretty much most of the time, because all of our big thinkers, they tend to educate us as well as our listeners, and you know, just those that inspiration that you can really do it. But we're down our last couple of minutes, and is there anyone that you would like to thank?
first of all, thanking my Heavenly Father for his power and for his word and his life living inside of me, and then my family, my parents and my brothers, for their love and their support, and for a gentleman who is the love of my life. I'd like to thank him for his coming into my life and for his love and his support.
That is great. So you think we'll be able to have you on again?
Most definitely. I look forward to it.
Great. Okay, everybody, you just heard Ms. Cassandra McGee really talk to you about her life, her business, and how you can make your business prosper by doing the right things. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We're going to end this session with Great is Thy Faithfulness. So for all you big thinkers, see you tomorrow. See you Thursday. Always Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And Sunday segment, Inspirational Insight, where one of our big hosts will motivate you or your team into action. Thanks again, everyone.
Diary. Starting in 2008, I resolved to lose 50 pounds by March and get the body I want. And I also want to... who are you?
I'm your fairy godmother. Do you realize you have the same resolution the past 5 years? Why don't you join these life and change your life altogether?
What do you mean, change my life altogether?
With these life program, not only would you lose those 50 pounds, but you will gain an entirely new lifestyle that will definitely get you out of the old and into the new.
Yeah, but how do I know it'll work?
There's only one way to find out. Go to www.dslife.com and join now.
Well, I should get started right now. And besides, I've heard your programs are really awesome.
You bet they are. So let's get started so we don't have to have the same conversation.
Join D-Life Detox Program now. Go to www.dslifenow.com. That's www.dslifenow.com.